Buenos dias. It is Wednesday, January 14th, 2014. I think we have a quorum. We will begin our city council meeting, agenda meeting for today. Welcome, everyone. We will begin with a invocation, and then Mr. Kidane will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Our prayer today is Felicia Hill. Felicia Hill is the prayer leader at Life Church. She's a Dallasite for over 29 years, originally from Shreveport, and a member of the Baylor Healthcare Systems, and is involved in several local community organizations, including Cornerstone Kitchen for the Homeless and Diabetes Health and Wellness Program. She is currently serves as prayer leader for the church and is accompanied today by Pastor Shay Main, I think. Is Shay here?
He's actually sick today.
Okay, no problem. It's great to have you here. Would you please lead us in the invocation? All rise.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for your love and for your grace. We thank you for your loving kindness, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask, O God, that your spirit and your presence will be with us today, Lord. We need you, Father. We need you in the city, O God. We pray, God, for our mayor that you've blessed, O Lord, and for the city council today, Lord. We pray that you will bless them, O Lord, as they meet today, that you would give them godly wisdom and godly counsel in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would continue, O Lord God, to keep your hand upon this beautiful city in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would keep us, O God, from all manner of evil in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We give you all the glory and all the honor today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I think it behooves us to take a moment and listen to Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and I will be extremely brief. And I want to say that this is Dallas, Texas, and we are the big D with a little A, double L-A-S. And people take notice to Dallas, and Mayor, you and I, we had a conversation day before yesterday. You know, we saw the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday, played a tremendous football game, and we all know about the last few minutes of the game and the catch. Personally, I believe it was a catch. However, we are winners and we represent progress, and we're going to accept that and move forward. But let me just say, the Dallas Cowboys have been, Mayor, as you and I discussed, on the world stage, and they have put Dallas on the world stage. They are the Dallas Cowboys. We are the city of Dallas. This is the Dallas City Council, and we represent the citizens of Dallas. But beyond that, they had a great season. The Dallas Cowboys were predicted to only maybe win four games. The Dallas Cowboys won 13 games and went into the playoffs. Every time they were on television, every time they were in the newspaper, every time they were on the radio, and every time they were in public, they represented our city because they are the Dallas Cowboys. With that, Mayor, as you and I discussed, and I'm sure that Jennifer and the City Council will welcome this, I think that we, the Dallas City Council, owe our Dallas Cowboys a standing ovation from this Dallas City Council for their representation, representing our city, and being such a fantastic sports and leader of our city.
So if you're a Cowboys fan, please stand and let's do it. Thank you. I appreciate you doing that. We will begin with our open microphone speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first five registered speakers for the morning session are Ozumba Lunks, Richard Sheridan, Albert Navafar, Hank Black, and William Hopkins. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker, Ozumba Lunks.
Good morning, Mayor, City Council. My name is Ozumba Nwagalu Lunks, Chief of the Texas African Afro-American Igbo Tribe, Minister in Chief. Merrill, I'm here today representing God and his daughter and son, Jesus Christ, who died in order we may have a right to the tree of life. Represent God and Jesus Christ, me, Ozumba Lunks. Resident in Dallas, I've been a resident in Dallas for going on six years in May. I've been here since I was 3 years old in West Dallas. Ex-military, sergeant, 20 years old, 6'4", 6'7", came out back home. I also hold a particular certified, I was to be a peace officer, I had my license. Also a private investigator, hold a license, renew a private investigator license, state of Texas. I've been coming here since 2004. Another one, I've been coming here since 2004 for an incident that happened to me, and another one that still exists. I have been seeking help since 2005. No one will help me. Lawyers and everyone is afraid of Dallas. I have contacted the FBI, written the Justice Department under both Bush and President Obama. In both cases, police and investigators support those who have assaulted me twice, and they were involved in criminal activities. Two of my appointed lawyers said I was guilty, and to plea bargain for a plea of guilty. In both cases, I was old enough to be my attacker's father, daddy, you know. They were my kids. I was made to pay excessive high bail bond in both cases for defending my life. I believe my problem is politically and racially motivated since I ran for city council in 1985, started out three times city council, three times for constable. I have ran six times and couldn't win because I am not a corrupt person, and the things that were going on, I refuse to do. I am not well, and I don't like going to jail because I am defending my life twice. I'm not well. As you all know, some of the old council members know I've been sick. I was supposed to expire this May the 13th, but by God's will, I'm still here. And I feel pretty good after eat right and take care of myself. Unlawful things that happened to me. City Hall, here, council meeting. I have been assaulted right here in the city council meeting. And I know it. Just like I said, I'm T-close. I've been to school for this, my criminal justice ring helping this finger here. And I'm telling you, I know what the law said. I've been assaulted right in front of police officers right here in this chamber. Constables, deputy constable, also have assaulted me. Dallas police, not all of them, some of them have assaulted me. Dart police have assaulted me. I've been a Dart board meeting. The justice of peace.
Thank you, Ms. Lunks.
What?
Thank you.
That 3 minutes show didn't go fast.
Time goes by and you're fun. Sorry. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by Albert Navafar, Hank Black, and William Hopkins.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council. Rich Sheridan, 11301 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. Here to speak about the Trinity River Tollway and our homeless toll. Begin with a couple of quotes. Tyranny always leads to failure. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And these following words describe the Trinity River Project after spending 12 years involved with it. Corruption, secrets, theft, rape, racism. These following words describe Dallas homeless program. Heartless, abusive, predatory, criminal, racism. Certainly it's tyranny to force a toll Tollway Highway on the citizens of Dallas who overwhelmingly are against such a degradation of the Trinity River Park. Certainly it is tyranny for our city to so abuse it, our homeless, hiding the truth that would cause the voters to force the city to shelter just about all of our homeless as New York does. Dallas gets away with this tyranny with the cooperation of local news outlets, just like they used to do in Nazi Germany. Goebbels said, tell a lie often enough and becomes the truth. We mostly have a, quote, let's make City Hall look good modus operandi policy with the news, and excuse me, reporters, you just work for them. November's town hall meeting conducted by State Representative Rafael Anchia strongly showed by his phone survey and by the sentiment of the near 300 attendees that we don't want your highway in our park. A city council member stated that anything done to make the highway now plan to go inside the park to be more acceptable would be lipstick on the pig. Gentleman's not here right now. And any tweaking would be lipstick on the pig. Once I thought that Dallas Observer writer Jim Schutz was an unbiased journalist. However, in addition to his support of DASD Superintendent Miles, his blatant ignoring a great compromise highway alternative denies the view that Schutz is an unbiased and a truth seeker. Why hasn't Schutz written about the tunnel alternative? Early last year, a city council member, Mr. Callahan, stated support for a tunnel, but it was immediately put down by TxDOT. A TxDOT representative didn't mention my name, of course not, but he did say that a tunnel highway alternative was proposed by a man a few years ago. New York would not be the city it is without 150 miles of tunnels. That tunnel will allow us to reclaim up to 1 square mile of lake and riverfront property. We could be the best park in the United States of America. I think San Antonio has, 16 million visitors a year or 12 million visitors a year, and Central Park has 40 million people a year. They'd come from all over the country and all over the world if we did the right thing. The homeless, former city council member once said, Leo Cheney once said, it's our ineptness that stops us from taking care of our homeless. I say it's worse than that. The majority of our police say that the bridge is a complete failure and facilitates and rewards bad behavior. Dallas won't allow Christian groups to feed the homeless where they need to be fed. Ending, it's the goats and the sheep, and it's in the Bible, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. I'm just here to warn you. You keep on this path.
Thank you.
You'll be punished. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
Your next speaker, Albert Navafar. Mr. Navafar will be followed by Hank Black and William Hopkins.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. When I refer to you, I refer to the entire City Council here. We have a right to accept that our elected leaders are ethical, trustworthy, and responsible, only representing the best interests of the people. I think you betrayed the trust bestowed on you as a public official by allowing Uber to operate freely as they wish, and degraded the market for the past 3.5 years, thus we didn't have enough insult and assault on our industry. Now you compliment them another 6 months to continue to operate. Unlawful interference with a line of business of the industry, not imposing the rules and regulation, allowing Uber to establish their goal, damaging the industry. 300 companies comply and 4 don't. Insurance, no. Uber acts free to operate because they are part-timer, according to the committee. 15 lawsuits, new 3 federal lawsuits has been filed against Uber. Criminal activities all over the world. It's good qualification for them to get into our industry. 2/3 of the world population of the world is in Asia, reject Uber. Misqualification of independent contractor is a federal law violation. Tortious interference by you and Uber. Surcharges, $250 for 3 miles they charge on a New Year's Eve Well, the rest of the industry stood on line and didn't make any money. It could have made $2,000 extra for each company. Using apps as a weapon, as a terror, by endangering the livelihood of the industry. 80% of the police fatality is in traffic related. Uber drivers endanger others by not being able to focus. And recently in New York, a couple died because the driver was taxiing or whatever, using the GPS. Economical damage to the city of Dallas and the state, where every dollar can go around for about 8-10 times, and you can text, that's out of the door. Not playing favor to city to Uber by repeating what Uber said. We want to establish a competitive market, and you all repeated that over and over. Is the city council lobbying for Uber, accepting promos, riding with Uber when violation of the rules, when they're in violation of the rules, communicating by email and in person while violation of the rules and regulation is in place? Do you have?
Thank you, Mr. Navarro.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Your next speaker, Hank Black. Mr. Black will be followed by William Hopkins, who will be the final speaker this morning.
Hello, I'm Hank Black, District 9. I sound like a Yankee, but I've been here 40 years. I'm a Dallasite. I'm talking about fluoride again. I'm a little bit concerned that the things that I brought haven't been properly viewed, that you've been presented with a sea of information, and I've been studying this pretty hard for a year now and spent a lot of time on it and selected very carefully things for brevity and relevance to the issue at hand. We have to decide whether we're going to renew the contract for hydrofluorosilicic acid. Certain factors rise as incontrovertible, and these are getting lost in a sea of so much information. I would like to offer myself to talk to any of you now, later, one at a time, all the time, formally, informally, to make sure that you see the question. You know, there's things that we have to sort out here. This is important. Is it something I'm trying to take away from you, like mother's milk, a nutrient? Is it a toxic waste? Is it both? Am I your friend? Am I your enemy? I'm your friend if you are sincere in putting safety above politics. Now, it's true that you should be conservative on this, but conservative in a political sense is quite different than conservative in a safety sense. First, do no harm. That's the principle. First, do no harm. And there's this clever slogan we have, when in doubt, keep it out. Well, that's not just a clever slogan. That's the law. For some reason, it's been turned around as if we have to prove that it's dangerous. Actually, the law says they have to prove it's safe. Why does the FDA, they are qualified. Actually, this whole thing can be reduced down to a simple thing. Why does the FDA have on the toothpaste label it's a drug? Drug content, fluoride. And yet, they don't do the test and they won't endorse it. This is an unapproved drug. You're putting in something that the FDA has not approved. Once again, I really would love to speak to you more about this. I can't do it in 3 minutes. But there's only four or five things that rise as absolutely need to be understood before you can vote on this. Thank you.
The next speaker, William Hopkins.
Yeah, my name's William Hopkins. Mayor Rowland, they talking about a fluoride is harmful. They sent us a letter in West Dallas to come to the library about the fracking, that the fracking might have poison in our water, so we got to go to the library at a meeting. I don't know if Ms. Alonzo know about the meeting, but we got to go to a meeting at the library for them to let us know in West Dallas that the fracking might be putting poison into the water. You've been here 4 years, Mayor Rollins. I gave you this lawsuit the first day you was here. You've been here 4 years. Charles Goodrum died waiting on you to help us with the lead. The city of Dallas sued the RSR lead plant and got the money for the lead, got the money, Mayor Rollins, and you and Russell Budd and Lisa Blue and the Fred Byron and Budd law firm is stole the money with John Wiley Price, had them people to come to the Boys Club, and the preachers had them people come to the Boys Club in 1985, and Fred Byron and Budd got the money from the city. The city let Fred Byron have the money so they wouldn't have to let the blacks have the money to give to the people. And it was crooked and corrupt. The FBI know it. I don't know if they the Ku Klux Klan, but the FBI know that the city of Dallas got them people money in West Dallas. Mayor Rollins, you've been here 4 years. Scott Griggs had meetings. Monica Alonzo had meetings. You never went to NOW meeting for the blacks that's dying in West Dallas. But you come this year, after 4 years, you come to West Dallas to tear down houses for this land bank with Russell Budd. Russell Budd and Fred Byron and Budd already stole the money from the dying people in West Dallas, and now you come to tear down the houses for the land bank to help them, Russell Budd, Fred Byron and Budd law firm, Lisa Blue and Dorothy Budd, steal the money and keep it. And Arise, people dying in West Dallas. John Wiley Price finna have a meeting at the in DeSoto with the ministers and Charles Cato in the Southwest Police Station at a church. John Wiley Price sold the people out in West Dallas. The churches got money to put a roof on their church and a parking lot to sell the people out in West Dallas. So now John Wiley Price is the same preachers from the coming to DeSoto and sell the people out again. We don't have no leadership in Dallas. Well, everybody's a sellout. All the blacks are sellout. The people in Oak Cliff, the streets is tearing up their cars. And we around here looking up in the street for a bag, and they charging welfare. The people on welfare for the bags. I think that's pitiful. I think this is a Ku Klux Klan ran city, and I'm going back to the FBI to find out why they taking so long. The people dying. My brother's sick and dying right now. He needs to see a doctor. The city done sued and got a health program under this lawsuit. And my brother need help, Mayor Rollins. Can I get 1 minute for my brother to say something for my brother that need to see a doctor?
Thank you.
Can I get 1 minute?
Thank you, Mr. Hopkins.
Thank you.
We're done.
Thank you.
Today.
The Ku Klux Klan.
Thank you.
The Ku Klux Klan is here.
All right.
I want to thank the Ku Klux Klan that's sitting around this table.
Mr. Hopkins,
for y'all,
thank you.
Right. Mr. Mayor, that concludes the speakers this morning.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take up our first item.
We move now to your first voting agenda item, which is approval of minutes of the December 10, 2014 City Council meeting.
Motion. We have a second. Any discussion? Any edits? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 10 through 22 and addendum items number 1 through 6. Pulled for individual consideration is agenda item 11, and agenda item number 19 needs to be considered individually as it is an eminent domain item and requires a record vote. Therefore, remaining on your agenda, your consent agenda are items 2 through 10, 12 through 18, 20 through 22, and addendum items 1 through 6.
Do we have, thank you. We got a motion and a second. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 11 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 14-0661, section 2A, to extend the term of the maturity date from December 21, 2014 to December 21, 2015 for the loan agreement with Dallas Housing Authority for the Turner Courts project located at 6601 Bear Street. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I ask a few questions?
Please.
Hey, Bernie. Just wanted to know, we're going to extend the loan for a year, and I'm happy to give DHA whatever it needs to make the project successful, but I don't understand what caused the delay in the first place.
Let me introduce Troy Broussard with DHA and let him kind of explain.
Good morning, Council Members. Hey. Troy Broussard, Senior Vice President for the Dallas Housing Authority. This project is 323 affordable housing units. We've completed all of the units and have some construction delays related to three community buildings. So we're working with the GC to get those completed by March 15th.
Okay, so what's important about a year's extension then?
This allows us to convert the loan. Right now we have an interim construction loan. There's stabilization and different issues that we need to do to get the loan converted to a permanent loan. We anticipate that happening in August, but we've asked for December just to make sure that we have
it. To be safe.
Yes.
What caused the delay?
Various issues with the GC. I don't want to go into those now because there may be issues down the road that we need to discuss as far as litigation. But there have been construction delays related with the GC.
I can understand that. Without going into stuff you don't need to go into, is there something else the city can do to help you?
No. Bernadette and her team have been great. In fact, we're working on a couple of other projects currently. So I think we're all good with the project moving forward. We just need to finish up these three community buildings, the Head Start Center, where we'll have room for up to 150 kids, infant to five-year-old. A teen center where we have teen program and after school programs, as well as our community building. So those three buildings are about 95% complete, and we anticipate by March 15th we will have possession of those buildings.
Great. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Move approval.
Thank you. We have a second. Ms. Davis.
I would like to second that since it's in my district.
Okay. Well, Mr. Carraway.
First of all, let me say that if you haven't gone on Bear Street too, Kenson, have you gone down there and take a look at it? It's a huge project. It was a huge, huge project. A lot of development. So when you're working on development like this, and it's a lot of development, and this particular project was the first of its kind. This developer, I still think this developer did a good job under all the requirement that he had to take to make this project work. Now, you only have three buildings left, which is the Head Start building, the team building, and the community building, which was a huge task in itself. So to ask for an extension on a project this size, 1 year to convert a loan, I think is worth doing it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 23 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For your consideration, for individual appointment to the Park and Recreation Board, Sean D. Johnson is nominated by Councilmember Davis. For a chair appointment to the Reinvestment Zone 20 Board Mall Area Redevelopment, we have Arthur W. Collingsworth. And as chair to the Community Development Commission, we have Christine Schwab, and they are nominees of Mayor Rawlings. To the Community Development Commission as vice chair, we have Antonia Huber, nominated by Mayor Rawlings.
We got a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Ms. Davis, you want to
talk
or turn that off? Thank you. Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda items number 19, 24, and 25 are eminent domain items. I'm going to read all those items into the record. They will require a record vote. If any council member wishes to have any of those items discussed and considered individually, you may state so after the items are read. Agenda item number 19 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item which amends resolution number 14-1628, previously approved on September 24, 2014, to authorize the acquisition of a larger tract for a subsurface easement located under approximately 996 square feet of land and authorize the use of the power eminent domain, if necessary, to acquire from Victor Hugo Gomez and Irma Leticia Rodriguez Campos a subsurface easement containing approximately 996 square feet of land located on Foreman Street near its intersection with Spring Avenue and City of Dallas Block A, 2410, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Agenda item number 24 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain, if necessary, to acquire from Gene Daniels a subsurface easement containing approximately 3,699 square feet located on Jamaica Street at its intersection with Foreman Street in City of Dallas Block B, 2432, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Agenda item number 25 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain, if necessary, to acquire from Troy A. Jackson and Roderick Tyrone Jackson a subsurface easement containing approximately 3,737 square feet located on Frank Street at its intersection with Foreman Street and City of Dallas Block D, 2434, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Are there any council members that would like to have any of those items considered individually?
None.
Mr. Mayor, we'll need a record vote.
We need a motion first.
So moved.
Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. We'll have a record vote. Thank
Please
you.
Please cast your vote. Ten have voted. We're missing one, maybe. Okay.
I don't think.
Ms. Davis, okay.
We've got it.
All right, all have voted. Mr. Mayor, all council members voting in favor with the exception of Council Member Allen, Council Member Davis, and Council Member Hill, who are absent when vote taken.
Thank you.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next item.
Thank you. Addendum item number 7, Council Member Caraway has a conflict of interest and will remove himself from the council chamber. Addendum item 7 is a resolution designating absences by Council Member Dwayne R. Caraway as being for official city business.
Is that a motion?
Second.
This motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing, yes, excuse me, I can't see your name up here. We need to pull that down.
Addendum 7.
I know it's Ms. Grayson. Okay. We've got, I hadn't called a vote yet. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. Addendum item number 8 is authorized number 1, the acceptance of $11 million of Community Development Block Grant Section 108 Guaranteed Loan Program funds from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, for the Plaza Hotel Commercial Development Project. Number 2, a loan agreement with Tioff Hotel LP in the amount of $11 million of Section 108 loan funds for development of the hotel project located at 1011 South Eckert Street that will create an estimated 220 permanent full-time equivalent jobs with 51% to be held by or made available to low and moderate income persons with incomes at 80% or less of area median family income. Number 3, the city manager to enter into all necessary agreements with HUD. Number 4, the city manager to establish appropriations for Section 108 loan funds. And number 5, the city controller to deposit and disburse funds from an identified account with total disbursements not to exceed $11 million in Section 108 loan funds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Move for approval.
Second. A motion is second. Any discussion?
No. Yes, Mayor.
Mr. Medrano.
I just want to, this has been a long time coming. This is going to be great for the Cedars. It brings a new hotel to the Cedars, the Plaza Hotel. Thank you guys for working on it. We're excited about it. We'll also improve one of the gateways and entrances to the Cedars. Thank you.
Great project.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your items this morning.
Okay. Council, we're going to go into executive session, but not right now. We're going to go at 10:30. Okay. We have a expert that's coming in that's supposed to be joining at 10:30, so I'll be reading it, and we'll meet back in the lunchroom for that session at 10:30. So it is now 9:42 a.m., January 14, 2015. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters. Petition of the City of Dallas for review of a decision by Sabine River Authority and to set water rates, Public Utility Commission, docket number 43674. We will see you at 10:30. We will come back here at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, that's what we'll do. Thank you. It's 1:04 p.m. The Dallas City Council will now go back into open session. We met under closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. We received advice from and consulted with the city attorney on following matters described in today's agenda: the petition of the City of Dallas for review of a decision for the Sabine River Authority to set water rates, Public Utility Commission, docket 43674. We will take up our afternoon public hearings and related actions. A lot of these have to do with real estate items, and most of us as a council just came back from a lunch from the Real Estate Council, where they celebrated 25 years, and I think we were reminded of how important that council and the real estate industry has been to the City of Dallas, and we appreciate their leadership, many, many things, and not the least being the initiation of Clyde Warren Park and what has been done there. But I just wanted to do a shout out to them. They're still at lunch, but I thought it was a neat lunch. With that, Ms. Rios, let's begin the afternoon's agenda items.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Grayson would like to be recognized regarding agenda item number 29.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to move to defer agenda item 29 till the January 28th meeting.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to your consent zoning agenda, which consists of agenda items number 26 through 28 and addendum item number 9. Those items will be read collectively into the record and speakers will be called. Agenda item number 26 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an expansion to Subdistrict 2 onto property at the north corner of South Harwood Street and Beaumont Street. Agenda item 27 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1953 for a restaurant with drive-in or drive-through service on property on the south corner of East R.L. Thornton Freeway, Interstate 35 East, and South Riverfront Boulevard. Agenda item number 28 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service on property on the west side of Marsh Lane, north of Walnut Hill Lane. Addendum item number 9 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a child care facility on property on the north corner of Opal Avenue and Volga Avenue. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 30 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property on the north side of Lake June Road, east of Oak Hill Circle.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 29 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, you are allowed 3 minutes to speak.
Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202, representing the property owner here, just that we're in agreement with the Plan Commission's recommendation for a two-year permit without an automatic renewal. Stand for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I move that we close the public hearing and accept the recommendation of the CPC.
Second. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 31 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict and mini warehouse uses on property on the west corner of Fairmont Street and Knight Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 133 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 17 replies in favor and 3 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Again, sir, you're allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. My name is Rob Baldwin, office at 3904 Elm Street, Suite B in Dallas. I'm the applicant on this case, and I'd like to request that this be denied without prejudice, please.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in opposition?
My name is Camille Potts. I live at 5331 East Mockingbird Lane, Dallas. I'm opposed to this. I don't think it's good for Dallas. I think we need more beds, heads for beds, for the neighborhood. It doesn't fit with all the wonderful redevelopment that's been going on here. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. I move to deny the zoning case without prejudice.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 32 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1653. For a potentially incompatible industrial outside use limited to wood or lumber processing on property on the north side of Mañana Drive, east of Spangler Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 5 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to follow the City Plan Commission recommendation for approval subject to the following change, that this specific use permit is approved for 2 years with no automatic renewals.
Second. We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Agenda item number 33 is a public hearing regarding a proposal to change the name of Hatcher Street between South Lamar Street and 100 feet north of Pacific Avenue to Elsie Faye Hagen Street and an ordinance granting the name change.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 227 notices to property owners within 1 foot of the area of request. We received 6 replies in favor and 24 in opposition. This will require a 3/4 vote by council to approve due to the street name having more than 14 characters.
We do have 5 individuals registered to speak. Those individuals will be called first and then it will be open to the rest of the public. Your first speaker is Norma Menes. Ms. Menes will be followed by Lee Simpson and Diane Ragsdale. It will be important that you please stay to the topic of the agenda item. Please state your name and address for the record. Refer your comments to Mayor Rawlings. And you do have 3 minutes to speak.
I'm Norma Menes. 9729 Van Dyke Road, Dallas, Texas. I am pleased and honored to be here today to support Mrs. Elsie Faye Higgins. For those of you who did not know Mrs. Higgins, a history lesson is in order. Until 1975, all council members were elected at large. As a result of lawsuits, the city council was changed to 8 members elected from single member districts and 3 elected at large. Not perfect, but we were on our way. This happened because Mrs. Higgins and a close-knit group of like-minded people were determined to have representative government. Because of these people, everything changed in Dallas. It is still changing, and it will continue to change. All of you sitting at this horseshoe are here because of her actions. In 1980, the Dallas City Council elections were won for the records. Every inner city council district took the opportunity to elect their own representative. In East Dallas, we elected Lee Simpson. South Dallas sent Mrs. Higgins. Oak Lawn sent Ricardo Medrano. And Oak Cliff sent Fred Blair. These newly elected council members looked and thought very differently than the previous ones had. These people fought to get here. They were tough, and they had issues, and they had vision. An inner city coalition of council representatives quickly started to materialize. Before 1980, decisions in Dallas were made by mostly white, mostly wealthy downtown Dallas businessmen. They determined who would serve on the city council and the direction of the city. After World War II came the rush to the suburbs. Dallas was to be a good place to work, but you went home to the suburbs to live. As a response, the inner city neighborhoods of Dallas were upzoned for higher density, and the 1957 Dallas Thoroughfare Plan was adopted that sliced and diced inner city neighborhoods with multiple road widening projects. The official name for Munger Boulevard through the Swiss Avenue Historic District was Crosstown Expressway, a piece of an inner city loop destined to be a loop like Loop 12. Incidentally, Ms. Higgins' campaign headquarters was on Crosstown Expressway in South Dallas behind Fair Park. Drive over there. The Crosstown Expressway street signs are still there. In the 1970s, there was a return to the inner city. We were called urban pioneers, urban guerrillas, and finally worse by those who were opposed to change. We were young, we were mad, and the vision we had for our neighborhoods did not include tearing down our houses for people to drive to the suburbs. We had lots of issues needing attention. Some of us started showing up at City Hall as regularly as the cleaning crew, as one magazine stated. There was much to do and we needed support. I learned of Elsie Faye Higgins when she fought to save the homes near Fair Park that were taken by eminent domain so the Cowboys could play at the Cotton Bowl. It was a long, hard-fought battle. She lost. The homes were taken, the Cowboys never played at the Cotton Bowl, and then they moved to Texas Stadium. I remembered that when I looked at the East Dallas zoning map and the 83 road widening projects scheduled for my community. I could see that South Dallas had already been sliced, diced, and upzoned. I thought a lot about eminent domain and moving people out for development and how she had fought to save her community. I officially met Mrs. Higgins in the ladies' room at City Hall.
Second.
Thank you. Keep going.
Oh, at City Hall. It was an oh my God moment for me. She was charming, she was smart, and she was looking for support too. I struck up a conversation. I told her about the roads and asked if she could support us. She said if we wanted her support, we would have to come to her Tuesday night town hall meeting and discuss this with her constituents. Mrs. Higgins' Tuesday night meetings was the most democratic affair I'd ever attended. Each person would read out loud an item from the council meeting agenda to be held the next day. There would be discussion of what it meant and how it would affect the district. Her constituents didn't support the item. She didn't either. Since we had lots of issues, we spent lots of Tuesday nights with Mrs. Higgins. She never once turned us down. I met some wonderful people at those meetings. I met all my life, longtime best friends at City Hall, people I've now known for over 35 years and still see on a weekly basis. These people made a difference. She made a difference. Thank you, Mrs. Higgins.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Lee Simpson. Mr. Simpson will be followed by Diane Ragsdale, Richard Dunn, and John Fullenweider.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Lee Simpson. I live at 7199 Green Tree Lane in Councilmember Cadane's district. I want to speak today on behalf of honoring the memory of former Councilwoman Elsie Faye Higgins. I served with Ms. Higgins on the City Council for two terms, beginning 15 years ago this month, 35 years ago this month. 35. Time goes fast when you're having a good time. I had never met Ms. Higgins before the day we came to be sworn in together as new council members. I had read a lot about her and her efforts on behalf of her community before the election. What I had read did not cover, even come close to covering or capturing the person that was Ms. Elsie Faye Higgins. She fought tirelessly to represent and serve underrepresented and underserved neighborhoods and people. To her, any neighborhood in trouble or in the need of more representative government from City Hall could look to her for help. More than once, she helped my constituents in East Dallas, giving them an additional vote when they needed it. She brought the voice of her constituents to the council circle with vigor and sometimes with humor, but she always made sure that her people were at the table when decisions were made. There were a lot of 7-4 votes in which she and I were on the losing side. But she won some votes as well. She won some votes as well. She excelled and succeeded at bringing issues to the table that had not been addressed previously. For example, the issue of unrestrained flooding in the lower Peaks Branch area of South Dallas. She introduced new leadership into the city political arena, including, I'll never forget this, a really bright young nurse named Diane Ragsdale. I ask you on behalf of the city to remember the service of this fine, gracious representative of the people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Diane Ragsdale. Ms. Ragsdale will be followed by Richard Dunn.
No longer young, I have to have my reading glasses on. Good afternoon to each of you. My address is 3611 Dunbar Street in the heart of South Dallas proper. Ms. Elsie Faye Higgins, a loving parent of two children, graduated from Booker T. Washington High School here in Dallas, attending University of North Texas, and was a highly successful real estate businesswoman. Ms. Higgins was dedicated to uplifting her community. In the early 1970s, she was a board member of the Dallas Legal Services Project, providing legal redress for inequities in education and discrimination in employment and redlining, etc. Because of her compassion and total dedication to the community, Mrs. Higgins organized on many levels, one of which was for the building of Crossroads Community Center, which was later renamed the Martin Luther King Community Center. She worked to get a facility with critical services, competent and sensitive staff that would be respectful to those who sought help to relieve their suffering. Ms. Higgins led the campaign to get a full-size bronze statue of Dr. King on the campus of the Martin Luther King Center, the first in the nation. She lobbied for the Senior Citizen Center, which is also a part of the King Center. And also she lobbied for the Senior Affairs Commission, which focused on the needs of our elderly. Ms. Higgins, during her terms on campus, on the City Council, was responsible for a major $15 million flood control project for the Lower Peaks Branch neighborhood. It is a neighborhood within Farrell Park, South Dallas. This given neighborhood would flood consistently. These families had experienced extreme flooding of their homes and business people from the 1920s, from the White Rock and Trinity River. Some 15 to 20,000 residents lost their cars, furniture, homes, etc., year after year after year.
it lost their lives, or they lost their lives, and many of whom did, serious illnesses. All of this is well documented. So it's because of Councilwoman Higgins that this relief was given and these issues were resolved. As a longtime voting rights advocate, seeking justices and fairness in a city she loved, Ms. Higgins joined 17 other plaintiffs, as it has been stated before, Lipscomb versus Wise. And while black and brown citizens made up almost half of the population of Dallas at that time, under the old at-large system, we could not select or elect our candidates of choice. We could not select who would represent us on the Dallas City Council or the boards or commissions. Once Ms. Higgins was elected to the Dallas City Council, more blacks and browns were elected to serve. I was Ms. Higgins' first appointee to the City Plan Commission. Because of the elimination of the A3 system, more people were able to be elected, not only blacks, not only browns, but also whites. And I must say that many of you who are sitting here, as you very well know, could not be elected at large. But because of the elimination of the at-large system, because of the elimination of the at-large system, many of you have the opportunity to be elected. Thank you so very kindly.
Thank you, Mr. Exum.
Your next speaker, Richard Dunn. Mr. Dunn will be followed by John Fullenweider.
Good evening. My name is Richard Dunn. I reside at 2712 Swanson Street, Dallas, Texas. I am a retiree of the City of Dallas. Greetings, Mrs. Davis. How are you this evening? Honorable Rawlings, Mayor Rawlings, we greet you this evening, and to the rest of the City Council, we greet you all. I'm here in behalf of Ms. Elsie Faye Higgins. Elsie Faye Higgins was a wonderful woman. She acquired a great number of good things in this community. I remember once I spoke at this council meeting where we tried to get a homeless shelter built, and that was before my daughter graduated from high school. My daughter went on to college to become a doctor, and so she's now a doctor in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I said that to say this. She used to read the agenda items at the S.V. Higgins meeting, weekly meetings. And so Dallas has come a long way, but it hasn't come a long enough way. Usually the City Council has turned a deaf ear to everything that the South Dallas area asked for. Well, we are not asking for much this time. We are just asking that we change the name of a street that I used to walk down going to elementary school to a street named Elsie Faye Higgins, who we all honored in South Dallas. So we ask that you would grant this change. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is John Fullenweider.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I'm John Fullenweider. I live at 1851 Fuller in Dallas. Elsie Faye Higgins was elected to the City Council in 1980, and she served until 1984 when she resigned to run for County Commissioner. And in those 4 years, you have one of the great untold stories of the Civil Rights Movement. The issues that she championed at the time are all too current. Police brutality, pollution of poor and minority neighborhoods, the need for infrastructure improvements, and the need for grassroots representation in government. She was probably the first city council person that really brought a voiceless community to the table down here, and we honor her for that. She, Ms. Higgins, was a radical in the good sense of the word and the true sense of the word, going to the root of the problem. And some of y'all may laugh when I mention that when she and Commissioner Price were both running for that seat, that the white Democrats told everyone to vote for Commissioner Price because he was the moderate. Anyway, our good friend Elsie Faye Higgins died on January 3rd, 1999. She was 65 years old. I went down to Houston. She had moved down to Houston to live with her daughter. And I went down there with about, I guess, about 100 or more people from Dallas went to her funeral. It's in kind of a shopping center church called Miracle Land. And a few of us had special remarks. Al Lipscomb, Diane was there, Elwin Johnson, Ola Mae Raybon, Andrew Crenshaw was there, a number of community people, and some of us had remarks. And I remember Diane's remarks that day. She said, Ms. Higgins always told her it was time out for going along to get along, time out for struggling for crumbs. She also mentioned her deep religious faith. Only thing I said was that I'll always remember Ms. Higgins as a great, loving, unbreakable heart at the center of a hurricane of struggle that Dallas was at that time. After the funeral, we got lost from the party going to the graveyard. It took a while to get there. It was Al Lipscomb, Diane, a couple of really good lawyer people, Marvin and Shirley Levin and myself. We finally found Houston Memorial Gardens. The mourners were all gone, but in an area that we later learned was called Section 18, we found it asking one of the groundskeepers. We came upon her freshly dug grave. And let me just have 10 more seconds if I can.
Please.
The casket was in its concrete box, but it was uncovered. And we stood there in the cold, Al, Diane, Marvin, and Shirley, Levin, and myself. And Al said a short prayer, and we each threw in a handful of dirt, some flowers. And then we watched while the groundsman emptied his small trailer of dirt into the grave. The sky was gray and white, cloud cover. Finally, another attendant put the leftover wreaths and flowers on top of the dirt pile. And as we started to drive off, Al asked the attendant, "What do they call this area, brother?" And the man said, "This is Section 18. And so in Section 18 of Houston Memorial Gardens, that's where Elsie Faye Higgins rests forever. And if I could have written her epitaph, I would have taken these lines. Mortal beauty, acts, and words have all laid their weight upon my soul. I hope one day I can drive down Elsie Faye Higgins Street and tell who's ever riding with me about this wonderful woman and what she did for this city. Thank you."
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, we have Robert Stubblefield here. He didn't sign up, but...
We're going to take other folks so that they can...
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item? We have an individual coming forward. Another one lining up. Sir, please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Robert Stubblefield. I live in 553 Woodmile Drive. That's Pleasant Grove, Texas. And I'm not going to take up much time because I don't know. Look like everything about Ms. Higgins have already been said. She was a wonderful person to know. I met her in 1982 because I had a little problem and I went to her with it. And then after that, it was history. We went committee after committee and taking care of everything that was had. And she was just a wonderful person to know, a wonderful person to work with. like I said, 1982, I worked for her until her time was up. But I kept on going, and I'm still going. It's like, I guess I'm like an old car. Some morning I get up, I run smooth. Some morning I get up, I got to be rubbed with something. But that's what happens when you get old. But you have to keep going. I'm just waiting for some young people to take over. Because we need young people out here working. I don't know what's wrong with it. They just don't want to work. They think this is something that's not important. But we all know it is important. And for Ms. Higgins, she lived in my neighborhood, and it was all wonderful. We met at least once or twice a month and discussed issues in my neighborhood. And we just want you to have open minds when the vote comes for that street change. Just open minds. That's all we can ask for, open minds. And if you have open minds, we know that you will vote for the change. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker. Next speaker, please.
My name is Joan Smotzer. I live at 3310 Fairmount Street, Dallas, Texas, 75201 in Councilman Philip Kingston's district. I met Mrs. Elsie Fay Higgins in 1984 when we began fighting the double-decking of North Central Expressway. I lived three blocks from Central Expressway in Greenland Hills in East Dallas. To be as brief as possible, Mrs. Higgins taught the neighborhood movement about self-determination. She served on the first council with the 8 single-member districts and 3 at-large seats. As East Dallas neighborhoods, we could always count on Councilwoman Higgins' vote as long as we met with her and explained what our position was. And likewise, she could count on our support and that of our council person, Lee Simpson. She had so much more to teach us just by observing her in action. As the only African-American woman on the council, she had to withstand many slings and arrows from her fellow council members, including the mayor at the time. But she took every one of them. I could not be more proud to support the name change proposed today to honor this wonderful woman and groundbreaking civic leader. I would like to ask everyone who is in support of this name change to stand. Thank you. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council. My name is Michael Miles. I live at 9704 Dartridge in Lake Highlands, Councilman Allen's district. I'm here representing Dart just briefly. When we have name changes of this nature, we need to make sure that we're not in conflict with station naming, and it presents a little bit of a problem for our stakeholders, our riders, and the like. I'm happy to tell you that over the years that we have worked with, starting with Mr. J.B. Jackson and again with Lee Simpson, who is here today on the interim board, and obviously with former council member Diane Ragsdale and on the Green Line and many things in South Dallas. Of concern was, do we change the name of Hatcher Station to something different? And it is a point of reference, and in speaking with Diane, she was gracious enough, because we like to work with the community on this, that there was a possibility of retaining the name of Hatcher Station for the DART system is a big issue for us. She agrees that is probably applicable, and we can still honor the legacy, if you will, of former council member Higgins and still carry on with the station naming as it exists today. So is our history, we usually work with the community closely. Here again, we've done that. I think if there's concurrence with Ms. Ragsdale, and I think so, we appreciate that. Thank you very much. I would just bring to the attention that it does present a little bit of a problem as we try to work through the issues whenever there is a dynamic change like that, because we don't want to impact our riders, but obviously we don't want to stand in the way of what you're trying to do. So with that, I'll stop it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Miles.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I make the motion, I want to just give a little highlight about LCFA myself. LCFA, and you know, the good thing about reading history is in black and white. LCFA was a councilwoman, a civil rights activist, was born in August 20, 1934 in Rust, Texas. She was 8 when her parents were married. Then they relocated to Dallas. She graduated from Booker T. Washington High School. She attended North Texas State College, which is now the University of North Texas. While she was in college, she went on to work, and she got her degree. She became a businesswoman, and one of those was she got her real estate license. In her profession, she worked to increase her knowledge on working in her community. After graduating from school, she married. She had 2 kids, a daughter named Joanne and a son named Labrador. After 7 years of marriage, LCFA and her husband, they divorced. She worked at the post office as a post office clerk for 7 years, and as she also worked in her real estate agent for 16 years. During the 1960s and 70s, she became an activist in her community, and her political career began. In 1972, she served as a board member of the Dallas LEED Service Project and the Crossroad Community Center. She was also co-chair of the Spence Community Block Partnership and a board member of the Black Civic for Justice Law and Order. That year, she made an unsuccessful run for the Dallas School Board. In 1978, she won an election as the Democratic chairperson for Precinct 3317. Her early battle included a successful fight to have Interstate Highway 45 redesigned to include an off-ramp at ground level through South Dallas to serve as a resident, to serve to a resident of that particular neighborhood. She also lobbied for a single-member district in the Dallas City Council election and the school board election. In 1980, the year I graduated from high school, Mrs. Higgin won the District 6 seat of the Dallas City Council, which represents the South Dallas Fair Park area. She became the first black member of a council without close tie to any white establishment. Her election was unbought and unbiased. She created an open for a non-established grassroots political on the council. Her tenure on the council, she responded for a $15 million flood control project in the Lower Peak, which they already mentioned. She fought for health care for seniors in a single-member district. She also fought, and each one of you have a copy of it, for the name change. And it here it says it was a hard fight to change the name of Forest Avenue to what we now know as Martin Luther King Boulevard. It was the fight of her life. That's amazing. She also served, here it says she ran against Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price. She lost that seat. She served on the Dallas City Council from 1980 to 84 after losing to Commissioner Price. Then she moved to Houston, Texas, and that's where she spent the rest of her life until she died. In 1990, she was honored as part of the Junior Black Academy of Arts and Letters exhibit, Black Dallas Black Living Legend, an exhibit of her photo lives on. In Houston, January 3rd, 2000, Higgins died due to complication of cancer. Although her service was held in Houston, she will always be remembered as a Dallas community individual who fought for the love of her community. And so now, after reading that, I hope my colleagues will support me. In item number 33, name change from Hatcher Street between South Lamar Street, 100 feet north of Pacific, to Elsie Faye Higgins Street. I now move to follow the City Plan Commission recommendation and approve this name change.
We got a motion and a second. Thank you, Ms. Davis. We'll have some discussion. And you want to say anything else?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be supporting this name change and the, we may need to look at our ordinance that requires us to go three quarters just because our name is long. I think that's kind of odd. This is certainly a name change that is deserved by the honoree and will help preserve her memory on a street that I think is really appropriate geographically as well. The only reason I asked to speak is I would offer an amended motion to delay the vote on this item until February 4th, and the reason for that is I've been told that the Plan Commission will be sending us a letter either late this week or early next week concerning potential changes in the way we do street renaming that could affect the way that we put up the signs for Ms. Higgins Street. Regardless, that's up to y'all, and I'll support this name change whenever it comes before this body. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for your leadership, Ms. Davis.
I'm sorry. I didn't capture Mr. Kingston. Mr. Kingston, was that a motion?
That's an amended motion to take the vote on this item on February 4th.
Then Ms. Davis can react to that.
Ms. Mayor, thank you. I would like to move forward with this agenda item. I think it's the right thing to do. This is something that we would like to see in the community where I live and serve as a council member. I just think, and I'm hoping that I have the support of my colleagues, this is the right thing to do. Her spirit lives on, but she served as a Dallas council member, and she fought for single member district. We would not be here if it had not been for that and her. So I'm asking for my colleagues' support. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So you do not second. Does anyone else second Mr. Kingston's motion?
I'll second that.
So we've got now a motion and a second to postpone voting till February 4th on this item. We'll take that up, but through discussion, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor.
Excuse me for cutting you off.
Oh, that's no problem. Okay. I want to thank Ms. Davis for her leadership in going through this process. I want to thank each and every one of the supporters of the late, great Elsie Faye Higgins. I want to also state that Ms. Higgins showed Diane Ragsdale how to serve. Ms. Higgins was tough, and she passed that baton on to Sister Ragsdale. And we began then to really get some things done between those two females that represented South Dallas proper. I want to also say that while I was in the private sector at that time, there was a fight that occurred, not a physical fight, but there was a battle because the city of Dallas then, we were going through renovations at the Majestic Theater. I never will forget. Millions of dollars, Brother Medrano, were spent to renovate the Majestic Theater, in which back in the day, when I was a kid, there was this little side door that we had to kind of scoot through to go up into the balcony at the Majestic Theater. We couldn't go in through the front door like everybody else. We had to go up the little side door up into the balcony of the Majestic Theater. It's very, very important for folks to understand that we had to go in the little side door up into the balcony. We can enjoy the full majestic theater. But now, when the renovations took place and the city council voted for that to take place, the Majestic Theater were going to do this big, fabulous re-grand opening of the newly refurbished Majestic Theater, and they were going to open it with the fabulous Lena Horne, in which was so very proper. They were going to have Lena Horne was going to be the opening act at the Majestic Theater for the newly renovated Majestic Theater, but the tickets were for Lena Horne were going to be $100. I never will forget that the tickets were $100, and Ms. Elsie Faye Hagen stood up and said, hey, we're not going to be able to have Lena Horne here for $100 because the people in South Dallas can't afford a $100 ticket to come and see the famous Lena Horne. And so when she raised so much sand with that, that Lena Horne got word, and Lena Horne said, I was not coming. And Lena Horne did not come because she said the poor people in South Dallas could not afford the $100 ticket to come to the Majestic Theater. Now, in saying that, it only goes to speak to the heart of Elsie Faye Higgins. It did not have to be the big things. It's the little things, but it was about the fight for the little bitty people that couldn't afford to come to the fabulous Majestic Theater. Now, fortunately, I, as a promoter back in the day, managed to take advantage of that, so she opened a door that I walked through, because I, in turn, turned around and rented the Majestic Theater, and I opened up the Majestic Theater with Millie Jackson, of all people. Millie Cousin Jackson is who I opened up the Majestic Theater with. So it's a lot of history when you look at doors that are open that allow us to be feeling like equal citizens in this city, and that's just one of the contributions that I can speak of personally that Lena Horne did. Now, I mean, not that, that Elsie Faye Higgins did when she stopped Lena Horne. I want to say and speak to my colleague and as relate to the delay. Certain things like this we can't delay. There are certain things that are very, very dear to us, and timing is everything. And when it comes to us changing the rules, granted, I understand that certain things may need to be reviewed, and I expect for a review to continue to take place. But, and however, I want to say that there are several other names that we as citizens want to see in our community. Mayor, you are elected by the people of the city of Dallas. We are, as council members, are elected by the folks that live in that particular district and in that area. And when the folks in that particular area desire to have some recognition to people that have been doers and followers in that particular area and that neighborhood, then at that particular time, we feel that we reserve the right to want to make sure that we recognize those people in the way that we feel that they should be recognized. So I want to make sure that we understand that just as we named the Southwest Airline Mark Kelleher, even though it's private and all that, we understand that. But just as we did that somewhat citywide. But when you get into these neighborhoods, when people live on the same street that the house that the person lived in, and the people that goes to the church in the same area that the person that we're naming it out of and in their honor, that's that neighborhood. And that neighborhood has a right to lift up and stand up and applaud and appreciate that particular individual's name that we are dedicating and honoring. I do want to say that, and I'm not asked to do this, but there are several other names that are going to come forward. We just heard that Elsie Faye Higgins graduated from Booker T. I'm going to be putting Raymond E. Holly back up, the greatest football coach that ever coached in the state of Texas at Booker T. Washington High School. And one name that I'm going to make sure that we do before I get off this council, and it's going to be Pancho Madrona. I want to say that to the Madronas that are here, because Pancho and I, we served on the Dallas Park and Recreation, and we know what he did, and he had relationships with Ms. Higgins, with Al Lipscomb, with the movement all back in the day. And certainly I want to say publicly that those things are going to take place, and we're going to see that they are done. Because before I leave this council, those are things that I know that we should and will have in place. You didn't ask me to do it. Adam has not asked me to do this. This is something that we've been looking and we feel that is in order for us to do. And I wanted to just take this time and say that. Now, today, it's about Elsie Faye Higgins. My vote, of course, will be to honor Elsie Faye Higgins, but I want us to be put on point that we still have some more people, council, that we want to honor, that we have the right to honor in the communities in which we grew up, in which we live today. Those areas are in our areas. They're not in other areas in the north. They're in areas in the south, and we want our kids to be able to grow up and understand when we're at our dinner tables talking about these people that they can have a full uplifting spirit and appreciation for the hard work that these folks have done and the contributions that they've lent to our community. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to talk to the delay. Some of you on this council know that I don't like street name changes, period. I've never liked them. I don't think we ought to do them. I've gone along with a couple recently because they've been very short. They've been one or two blocks or a tail end of a street. This is a very long street, but whether it's long or short, clearly this is a lady, I did not know her, who is well deserving of this honor. She's obviously a fine, fine person. And a lot, and all of the people that come forward for these name changes on these streets are fine people. I just don't believe in that. I do like the idea that City Plan Commissioner Ann Bagley talked about at Plan Commission, which was to give honorary street names. You wouldn't be changing the name of the street permanently, but you'd have blades on top of the existing street signs that would honor that person. Other cities do that. Chicago does it. A number of other cities do that. And you can honor these people who well deserve this honor. Ms. Higgins clearly deserves this honor. But you would do it in a way that doesn't involve changing the basic street name, but you would still have blades with this person's name on it so that people would know that you had wanted to honor this person. I support that. I hope the Plan Commission moves forward with it. And that's why I am in favor of the delay, because I think that's what we ought to do from now on with all of these proposed street name changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councilwoman Davis, Diane Razdale. Thank you for coming down, and everyone out there. And when you start looking at name changing, you start looking at the history of Dallas. And I think most of y'all people around here do not know the history of Dallas or South Dallas. I grew up in South Dallas. And when you have someone who worked for the people, all the time for the people, and see that you have a voice at the table, a voice at City Hall that you can go to and speak to and help your neighborhood. It's all about neighborhoods, it's all about community. If you look at South Dallas, you can start from Park Row and South Boulevard, and you move all the way down to Pine Street. And many of the African Americans, when they first came to Dallas, lived south of Pine Street, because Pine Street was a borderline. And a whole lot of people don't realize it was a borderline south of Pine Street. And you look at Hatchet today, and you look at the things that it once was back in the 70s, in the 80s. It was a thriving neighborhood. And you could walk to work, you could entertain, you had many theaters in that area. You know, you had Lego, Spring, Farms Avenue, all of those movie theaters, restaurant, business people who lived there was not the poor, as you some people say. You had doctors, attorneys, lived next door to each other. It was a neighborhood that everybody brought the community together. Everybody know someone. A lady named Ms. Hagan, you know, kind of brought the city together and brought Southern Dallas on a higher pedestal when she came here. She was very independent. She did not worry about who gave to her campaign. She said, I want her to fight for the community. And that's what I'm here for. What is best for my community? What is best for my neighborhood? What is best for my community? And we all said around the horseshoe, what is about my neighborhood? What about my community? So it is about the neighborhood. Hatcher Street today is about the neighborhood. It's about someone who had a role to make sure this neighborhood stayed together. And with that, Davis Davis and Diane and everyone in South Dallas, I was raised in South Dallas. I used to live right there at South Boulevard on Southern Street when all the apartments gone right now, Karen, which took many, many years for you to get those down. Mm-hmm. And here we stand here with SM Wright to lower down and try to bring that neighborhood back to South Dallas. So what is wrong in naming a street out somebody great who might bring the dignity, the character back in the neighborhood, the pride back in the neighborhood? Name do mean pride. And when you got pride with some name up there, it helped the people say, I look up, I see someone there who made a difference. You look at your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and look at this person and look at that name, what are you going to do about this neighborhood? Our South Dallas is probably one of the best neighborhoods in the world because I came from it. And I would never forget where I came from in Southern Dallas. I'll never forget someone who came down here at this horseshoe that gave me an opportunity to come here and gave me the pride to say, when you come here, you represent your people. You represent your community. You do it for the best of the city of Dallas. Not segregated, but for the best city of Dallas. Even though you look at the Fair Park, when the Dallas Cowboys, when people talking about the buying blocks, real estate by blocks, she fought because she said, I want to save my neighborhood. And to me, I would support her because she did something for the people. Not for herself, for the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Oh, I was going to let Ms. Davis see what she's going. Okay, let me just say this. As relate to the long streets and those things, I was not around when Inwood Road, which is an extremely long street, was named. And I was not around when Markenburg, which is an extremely long street, was named. Nor was I around when Preston Road was named Preston Road, an extremely long street. Nor was I around when Lemon Avenue or Cedar Springs or Peavy Road or none of those streets. I don't think that we ought to get into the lengths of things because at one point we were not there at the table when those streets were named. We're at the table now. And to now want to put a cap on things, we want to celebrate as the celebration went when Cart Road was named and when Carew Street was named and when Keith Boulevard was named and Illinois was named. Those streets were named and there was a purpose for naming those streets. We support all of that, but it seems like now we're talking about, okay, now we got enough of this. Now we need to put a little top on it. Well, it means a lot to me when a letter comes from the mail and the letter in the mail has 1600 Pennsylvania on it. I'm looking at the address. It's not going to have the top of the name on there. It's going to have the street that is there. It's not going to have that topper that we're talking about. It's going to have the name of the street, not the honorary topper that's on there. And you're very proud when you get something and you see that the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce is located on Martin Luther King Boulevard. You get proud about it when you see the name of the street written on the envelope and not a topper. So I'm not for salary caps here. I'm not for the caps to come in now that we are becoming aggressive enough to want to have some things that are in our community. And now all of a sudden we say, hey, y'all, just hold up now. We got to hold up. We got to go to a new rule. We don't have to go to a new rule. And I will vote against a new rule. And I hope the Planning Commission don't come up here suggesting a new move, because it's not time for a new move. It's time for an equal move. And this is not something that should be being raised to this level of concern, because we're talking about something that the people want, that the people deserve. And it's our responsibility to make sure that we stand up and make sure that these type things do not happen. Don't start because we're rising up.
coming with the caps now. All of a sudden, other than that, let's put a cap on everything. Let's go back and put names on every street and put the toppers everywhere. Because then it'll become an issue about, well, we don't want this particular topper on this particular street. It'll be another rule. This is not something that I think that we should be concentrating on. At least I'm not going to be concentrating on it. I'm putting mine on Front Street and in public today. That this is not something that I feel that we should be even entertaining. Yes, I think that we should be able to honor certain folks, so let's not just take it completely off the table. But at the same token, let's not make it a mandate when citizens are here wanting to do something for people that they love to honor and recognize in our own communities. That's our community. That's where we live. That's where we shop. We want to be able to go and be proud driving down a particular street with a particular person's name on it so we can tell the kids in the car, this is this about this particular person. Now, I'm going to stop for them. I'm trying to stop now, but I'm just telling you where I am. I don't want to hear all this about no salary caps and no tops and putting all that stuff where we can't continue to excel. We want to go to the moon, too.
Salary caps?
Mayor, that's what it is. When all of a sudden you come with a new rule and then you say, well, we won't do no more street name changes, but we'll just put a little top on the top recognizing somebody.
Thank you. Thank
we
you.
Want the name change. We don't want the top. We want the name and the top.
Thank you. Ms. Davis.
Mr. Mayor, before we move on, and I would like to have a record vote when we do this. Before we move on December the 4th, the CPC action on December the 4th, street name change, it was quoted motion. It was moved to approve an application to change the name of Hatcher Street between South Lamar Street, 100 foot north of Pacific, to Elsie Faye Hagen. The motion was made by Mr. Rogers and seconded by Ms. Bagley. It carried 13-1, and 13 members voted for it and one against. And the one against was in this is my colleague to the right of me. Mr. Kingston appointee, he is the one who has spoke of street toppers. And my planner just called me and said it was not her who mentioned that, Ms. Grayson. She just wanted the name to be correct. Thank you.
Okay, so we have Ms. Grayson.
I did want to say if it wasn't Ms. Bagley, then I shouldn't have attributed it to her. I was told it was Ms. Bagley who came up with this idea. But for whoever came up with it, I like this idea, even if nobody else does.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to defer this vote till February 4th. I think that was the date I heard. And we've asked for, someone's asked for a record vote there. So let's vote.
Not on this piece, on the other piece.
Excuse me? Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I just.
Let me ask for a record vote.
Okay, we've got a record vote. All right, so on the delay, defer.
Please cast your vote.
This is for Kingston?
Yes, this is for Mr. Kingston. I can't get mine up here. There we go.
11 have voted? 13, 14? All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Gates, Kleinman, Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, and Kadane. Voting against, Council Members Medrano, Davis, Caraway, Allen, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Member Griggs, Kadane, I'm sorry, Mayor Pro Tem Adkins and Councilmember Hill. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We now have a motion on the floor to approve item number 33. A motion is second. We will have a record vote on that as well.
Please cast your vote. All have voted. All council members are present. All voted in favor of the motion, with the exception of Council Member Grayson, who voted no. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 34, a public hearing regarding consideration of amending section 51A-7.404, attached signs of the Dallas Development Code to allow signs on property zoned O-2 office district to have attached signs larger than 40 square feet in effective area when conditions are met and an ordinance granting the amendments. Are there any individuals who would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion to approve. On item number 34.
Move to approve.
Okay. Do we have a second? We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 35 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from a private school, St. Elizabeth Catholic School, and an open enrollment charter school, Focus Learning Academy, as required by Section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code, to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a general merchandise or food store greater than 10,000 square feet, Walgreen Company, DBA Walgreens, number 6197, on the northwest corner of Southampton Road and West Ledbetter Drive. The item will require 2 seconds. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? We have a couple of individuals. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Elliot Strader. I'm an attorney with Gardier Wynn Sewell here in Dallas, 1601 Elm Street.
Could you bring that up close to your face? There we go.
Sorry, Elliot Strader. I'm with Gardier Wynn Sewell here in Dallas, 1601 Elm Street. I'm here on behalf of Walgreens. I also brought with me the store manager, Brandon Drake. We are available for questions. The short story is, from door to door, it's 550 feet. We're within the regulation, but because of the property line, it's within 300 feet, and so that's why we're requesting a variance. Across the street, there's a Fiesta supermarket that was granted a variance for the exact same reason. That was done in April of 2013. Walgreens would like the same consideration. And again, if you have any further questions, either on the operations of the store, I have the store manager, and we're able to answer those.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Rich Sheridan, 11301 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. Here a variance, there a variance, everywhere a variance, EIEIO. I'm against granting this variance request to sell alcohol near a school until we change the variance procedures and requirements. I think it's inevitable it's going to happen, but I think we could do a better job protecting our children. At one time, Dallas was strongly in the Bible Belt. We see some of the vestiges of this with the still banning of liquor sales in part of the city. Many Baptists believe that alcohol is evil or of Satan. I don't. What would the city council then say about the variance after variance is being given out month after month to alcohol beverage stores near a school? I've spoken about this alcohol variance with schools many times. I'm not against, again, the stores getting the variance. I'm for all applicants going to each school and conduct alcohol awareness events. Do we have an alcohol epidemic with our youth and at colleges? Is Texas number one in DWI deaths? Our children would know what's going on with alcohol, and we need to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. We're looking at saving lives. Dallas alcohol sales requirements must require for every new store requesting this distance variance to go to the school or hire a consultant that's expert at it, spend a few hundred dollars, and continue to remind the children of the dangers of alcohol. And one of the things that might come out of this is they're going to get some literature. They'll bring literature home. And one of the things in that literature might be the breathalyzer. The breathalyzer will save lives. A $1 breathalyzer in a bar is better than a $10,000, $15,000 breathalyzer in a police car, death or jail. We need to do a better job educating our children. This is not a big change in the procedures we require right now for alcoholic variances, and I hope that one day somebody will have the wisdom to put this forward to protect our children. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor. The item does require 2 seconds, as it is an alcohol variance request.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the variance. Colleagues, this is a commercial area. The Walgreens is about the same distance from the schools as the Fiesta. The Fiesta variance was granted some time ago, and what the gentleman said about door-to-door is correct. Property line to property line, it is less than 300 feet, but door-to-door, it is nearly 600 feet. It's a considerable distance. The children who go to Focus Academy, that's the school that's associated with T.D. Jakes' enterprise, those children don't go the direction of this Walgreens. The children who are at the Catholic school, St. Elizabeth's, also, they go a different direction. The children don't, those two schools don't go the same direction. They go opposite directions, and neither of the student bodies goes towards the Walgreens. I am extremely familiar with the entire corner. My house is about a mile and a half from there, but my law office is within walking distance of both the Walgreens and the Fiesta, and I see how the traffic pattern is. And accordingly, I move to approve the variance.
Second. Second. You have 2 seconds. Thank you. Discussion, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and Judge Hill addressed some of my questions. I just had one for the Walgreens rep, if that's okay if I ask.
Please.
Could you cite or mention what your practices are to prevent underage minors from buying alcohol in your, I know most right. chains at your size has some practices in place, and if you could just tell me what yours are.
Absolutely. Everyone over 21 that works at a Walgreens is TAB certified, TABC certified. They go through the required training. Every employee is given alcohol training. The way the process works as far as checking out, there's a technology in place that you cannot purchase alcohol without an ID check, and that's verified electronically. And then no matter who's at the counter, it has to be a TABC certified employee that completes the sale. And those are the measures in place.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you. I just want to thank Ms. Hill, you know, for looking at the information. I believe, Ms. Hill, when we did the Fiesta Food Bureau, we went out to St. Elizabeth and look at those schools, we addressed all the community complaint in that area. I mean, this is not the first time this came up in that particular area at the Fiesta Food. I think Mr. Gregg and I had many numerous meetings with St. Elizabeth and the resident to do that, and I think that likely when you do get a variance and you do not include the school in the community, you have problems. And I know in that particular area, everyone is included and everyone is trying to say what is best for everyone else. Again, thank you for bringing it up by the community.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway.
Yes, and mine will be short. That's my district just immediately across the street. And we wholeheartedly embrace it. We're familiar in the neighborhood and everybody. They're just fine. The Walgreens is doing a lot of great business in that community as well, so we will be supporting.
Thank you. So we have the motion. We have 2 seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Is that?
Mr. Mayor, for the record, that item was corrected on the addendum and it was read appropriately. That finishes your agenda items. We continue
okay.
now with
well,
speakers.
One piece of business, city council business. Because of we have the honor and the pleasure to spend the next 2 days together on our offsite,
And we're going to get a lot of briefings from the city council. I mean, so if the city manager's office in that time. We do not have an agenda for next Wednesday, and that meeting will be canceled. Okay, so just I know that that's probably breaking your heart, but so you'll get a memo on that. But I just wanted to let and say that publicly too, if anybody's planning on next Wednesday. Okay, thank you. We'll listen to our speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Hey, no.
We continue now with your additional open microphone speakers. The first speaker will be William Wim, Raylene Stewart, LaCoya London, Jerry Hodges, and Stuart Nelson. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any individuals making personal, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer at the podium. Please state your name and address for the record and say to the topic that you registered. We do have several individuals that will have a video presentation. Again, your first speaker is William Wim.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, my name is William Wynn. I live at 5045 Forest Lane Circle, Dallas, Texas, 75244. That's in Jennifer Gates' district, District 13. I'm here today to express my opposition to fluoridation, and I'm going to play a short video for you today that's currently being aired in the Dallas-Fort Worth area as a public service announcement. This PSA stars the noted actor and environmentalist Ed Begley Jr. It's noteworthy that this video was shown in December during the time slot of the Dr. Oz show in the afternoon five times. Currently, it's being aired by Fox 4 several times during the month of January. So without a whole lot of additional comments, I'm going to go ahead, play you the video, hope you enjoy it and find it informative. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ed Begley Jr. You know, back in the 50s, doctors on television told us cigarettes were cool, fun, and harmless. They also told us adding fluoride to our water is good for our teeth. But did you know 41% of American children now have dental fluorosis? You want your children's teeth to look like this? You think that's bad? How about your child's brain? Well, scientists at Harvard University published that fluoride prevents proper brain development and lowers IQ. So if people have to wear hazmat suits to handle this stuff because it's so corrosive it eats through concrete, and you're warned to call poison control if you swallow your toothpaste, then why is it still added to the water we drink, cook, and shower with? The good news is countries like Israel and cities like Portland, Wichita, and Davis, California have rejected fluoridation, and we can too. So here's what you want to do. First, get all the facts at fluoridealert.org. Second, go to fluorideprotection.org for everything you need to protect your family from fluoride. Then, work with your city's fluoride awareness group to get this poison out of your community's water.
That's all I have to say for you today. There will be many more speakers addressing fluoridation that follow me. I'd just like to thank you for the opportunities to speak before you today. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Raylene Stewart. Ms. Stewart will be followed by LaCoya London, Jerry Hodges, Stuart Nelson, Marjorie Stakely, Joe Stokes, Regina Ambrosia, John Greer, Phyllis Greer.
Hi, my name is Raylene Stewart. I live at 16,000 Bentree Forest Circle, Dallas, Texas. I would like to read a short statement from Dr. Jim Maxey, DDS, out of Oklahoma. Dr. Maxey has written letters to each of you, and he has offered to answer any questions you may have. You have also been given a newspaper article previously that he wrote. He has made the personal commitment to give up his dental license if anyone can actually prove that fluoridation is safe and effective for everyone. Dr. Jim Maxey was not able to video record his message, so he sent it. Here is his statement. Communities that are ending fluoridation should consider themselves very fortunate to be eliminating this very toxic, arsenic-laced industrial waste fluorosilicic acid chemical from their water supply. However, I know there will be a slew of dentists and other pro-fluoride folks who will begin to rave on and on and on that tooth decay rates will now double or triple when fluoridation ends. Rest assured that will never happen, as these misinformed dentists aren't aware that there has never been even one controlled study that scientifically documents that water fluoridation has ever reduced or prevented tooth decay. Since water fluoridation has never been shown to reduce or prevent tooth decay, how can removing it from the drinking water cause tooth decay rates to increase? H. Trinley Dean, DDS, was the chief dental officer of the U.S. Public Health Service and who the ADA refers to as the father of water fluoridation. Dr. Dean was responsible for designing and creating the classical fluoridated water tooth decay studies done by the UPSHS in the early 1940s and early 1950s. Dr. Dean, when cross-examined before the Public Utilities Commission of the State of California in Oroville, October 20-21, 1955, admitted under oath that those studies were not valid studies, as none of those studies, nor any since then, followed the same children from year to year, the water sources were not consistent, and there was absolutely no consideration for nutrition, oral hygiene, or dental care. A valid scientific controlled study cannot have these numerous variables, especially variables that are not taken into consideration. The ADA just forgot to teach dentists that Dr. Dean invalidated his own classical studies. Ending water fluoridation will not cause any increase in tooth decay rates, as water fluoridation has never reduced or prevented tooth decay in the first place. And remember, tooth decay causes fluoridation. Please vote no on January 28th. Thank you for your time.
Your next speaker, Lakoya London. Ms. London will be followed by Jerry Hodges and Stuart Nelson.
Hello, Lakoya London, 1411 North Cockrell Hill. Okay, I want to talk about the earthquakes, because scientifically speaking, I mean, when man mess with the earth, you're going to have an earthquake. I mean, they're digging in the ground and causing a volcano, like a volcano actually, to erupt under the ground. You can't play with what God made, actually. You really can't play with that. So now, as you can see, Irving is shaking to death almost. And it's going to shake apart if they keep digging in the ground, building roads, building trains, and fracking. I mean, everybody came down here and talked about the fracking and talked about the results. So now you see what the results has led to. Okay, now I want to talk about the children. What can we do in the city of Dallas for the children? Because y'all have these, it look like daycare centers after school. You know, y'all charging kids to be in camps. I mean, I'm just trying to see, y'all don't do anything for charity anymore. You know, everybody say ain't nothing free no more. I guess not. We got bags, 5 cents, 20 cents, 75 cents, whatever. Whatever price the store want to charge, so be it. But I do remember when Dwayne came with them bags, he had 45 bags. He had a blue one, he had a green one, he had a pink one, he had a yellow one. He had all these bags and said they were going to be 5 cents. He said, oh, they reusable. He didn't say they were going to be 20 cents. He didn't say they were going to be 70 cents. He didn't say every store can choose whatever price they want to say. He didn't say that. So he lied to the public. He lied to the people. That's what he did, committed perjury in the name of the law when you're telling a liar a lie. So I'm just letting them, you know what he did with the bag situation. He's gone because he knows there's a lot of people on the agenda talking about the bags, which is ridiculous. How can you charge somebody for a bag that's going to tear up? And them bags that they charging, they're not reusable at all. They charging us for bags that's going to tear. So what happened to them red bags, them blue bags, them green bags? I seen them on Channel 8 the other day trying to clarify everything that he had already stated when he was trying to propose this ordinance, you could say. But I just don't understand how it got this bad.
And then I want another thing. I want whoever over the, I don't know if it's you, Mr. Atkins, or Mr. Caraway, over the WIC office in Oak Cliff, they have a candy house in the WIC office. A candy. They selling M&M's, Snickers. They selling junk food in a nutrition place. So that need to be stopped. I mean, I've went in there several times and asked them why they still had a candy house. Maybe y'all don't know about it. Now you know about it. We need y'all to go and tell them that they need to be selling apples, oranges, fruit, pineapples, not M&M's, Snickers, and all that. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Jerry Hodges.
Hello, my name is Jerry Hodges, and I'm from Colleyville. And I would like to speak to you today about the fluoridation in the water.
Hi, I'm Griffin Cole, and I'm a dentist in Austin, Texas. I've been practicing for 22 years, and I've been studying water fluoridation for about 25. I'm going to make this real simple for you. I can tell you three huge inherent problems with water fluoridation. Number one, it's not fluoride. It's not the naturally occurring calcium fluoride, and it's not the sodium fluoride that's added to toothpaste. But rather, it's hydrofluorosilicic acid, a waste product from the fertilizer industry. So toxic, in fact, that the EPA does not allow it to be dumped in the landfills or vaporized up into the air. They have to install scrubbing stacks to capture the acid. So where does it go? Well, it's filled into tankers and driven to all different cities around the country, including Dallas, and dumped in the water supply. So again, not fluoride. Number two, it doesn't do its intended function. It's supposed to fight decay or lessen cavities. The World Health Organization has shown that it's virtually even worldwide on decay rates going down at the same pace. It doesn't matter whether it's fluoridated or not. And we're about the only country that still does this. There are many studies to show that it doesn't have any beneficial effect on the teeth whatsoever. None to show that it does. Number three, and probably most important, no dose control. There's no dose control at all. If you go to a pharmacist to get a medication filled, it is an exact dosage based on age and weight. This stuff is added to our water supply with no discrimination at all. A bottle-fed infant is going to get so much more fluoride based on its weight versus an adult. So once again, three problems, big problems. All you have to remember, number one, it's not fluoride. Number two, it doesn't do its intended function. And number three, there's no dose control. So come on, vote with your conscience and now with knowledge. Thank you.
The EPA put out a statement, and they said, in summary, we hold that fluoridation is an unreasonable risk. What do you think they mean by an unreasonable risk? They're saying don't fluoridate the water. And I'd like to ask you today to please stop the fluoridation. This is a highly toxic substance that you're putting in the water supply. It's not doing anything for the health, and it's causing hazards to children, adults, animals, birds, anything that gets in contact with it. It eats concrete. I mean, how can you think that putting a substance like this in our water is going to be good for us? So I ask you, please stop the fluoridation. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Stuart Nelson, will be followed by Marjorie Stakely.
Hi, my name is Stuart Nelson. I live at 4512 Abbott, and just a few exits north of this location. So I wanted to play a video as well. I appreciate your time, and looking forward to sending this information to you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joan Sepsik. I've been practicing dentistry for 30 years, and I'm currently the president of the International Academy of Biological Dentistry and Medicine. Fluoride does not occur naturally anywhere in the body. There are no recommended daily requirements for fluoride. It is not necessary for life. In fact, it's considered a foreign object when ingested internally, such as in the drinking water. Since it's a foreign object, it's also toxic to the body. So when you take it internally, especially if your teeth are developing, it will actually deform your teeth and cause dental fluorosis. It will damage your bones, making them more brittle and making them more susceptible to fractures and to cancer. It harms all the organs, especially the kidneys and the brain cells. It calcifies your pineal gland. And since it's chemically similar to iodine, it will replace iodine in your thyroid hormone, making it inactive, even though your thyroid hormones may look normal on tests. It also inactivates 62 enzymatic reactions in your body. As you can see, ingesting fluoride only does harm. So I highly recommend that Dallas stop fluoridating their water and protect and enhance the health of their citizens. Thank you.
Okay, I want to, again, thank everybody for City Council for listening and ask you to make a statement of unanimous vote to not fluoridate, add fluoridation to the water. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Marjorie Stakely, will be followed by Joe Stokes and Regina Ambrosia.
Marjorie Stakely, District 2. This video is of Dr. Carmen, who has the terminal degree in the same area where my master's degree is in.
My name is Neil Carmen. I have a PhD in the biological sciences, emphasizing biochemistry and chemistry and molecular biology. I am speaking about my concerns of adding hydrofluorosilicic acid to the water supply in Dallas and why the Dallas City Council should be very concerned. Number one, this chemical has not been subjected to a single double-blind study in the United States or worldwide. Double-blind studies are the gold standard used by the FDA and the drug industry to prove the safety and efficacy of allowing drugs to be prescribed in the United States. So this chemical has not been subjected to adequate safety testing. A second reason is because this is a highly toxic form of industrial fluoride that's completely different from the naturally occurring calcium fluoride in the water supply naturally. But calcium in the calcium fluoride is a buffering agent, which is completely lacking in the hydrofluorosilicic acid. Another reason is that the hydrofluorosilicic acid has an industrial waste product, is highly impure, and it is contaminated with toxic metals such as arsenic, hexavalent chromium, lead, mercury, and other toxic substances. Arsenic and hexavalent chromium are both known human cancer-causing agents, and there's no intelligent idea to behind adding these kinds of cancer-causing chemicals into the drinking water. Lead and mercury are both well-known neurological toxins, and they are very harmful to children, and so there's no good reason to add mercury and lead to the drinking water as well. I would point out that hydrofluorosilicic acid has an industrial form of fluoride is more toxic than lead itself. We know lead is a very dangerous substance, but so is the hydrofluorosilicic acid that's being put into the water supply. Even in low concentrations, this is not a good idea to be exposing children and others to this form of toxic fluoride. And so I would encourage the Dallas City Council to end this harmful practice.
Okay. The way I've been personally affected by this is I am a hypothyroid, as I've been for several years. My sleep has been badly disrupted to the point where I'm not able to keep a regular schedule and have a job. And so I've been drawing disability since 2012. and I would appreciate not renewing a contract. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Joe Stokes. Mr. Stokes will be followed by Regina Ambergia, John Greer, Phyllis Greer, John Parks, David Glass, David Seibert, and David Heavily.
My name is Joe Stokes, 8930 San Benito Way in Dallas. Everybody's given two summaries from the Harvard study that I will cite. I'm 30 years in the public schools, and I consider myself a protector and defender of our children. As elected servants of your brothers and sisters, your children, our children, you are entrusted to make informed decisions on their behalf. This is from Abraham Lincoln. I do not think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday. Never choose the easy path. Choose the one that has morals. Be honest, follow your heart, and do the right thing. God sees and knows all. Those people who develop the ability to continuously acquire new and better forms of knowledge that they can apply to their work and to their lives will be the movers and shakers in our society for the indefinite future. It's by Brian Tracy. Impact of fluoride on neurological development in children, and this is from the Harvard studies from 2012. For years, health experts have been unable to agree on whether fluoride in the drinking water may be toxic to the developing human brain. Extremely high levels of fluoride are known to cause neurotoxicity in adults and negative impacts on memory and learning, and have been reported in rodent studies. But little is known about the substance's impact on children's neurodevelopment. In a meta-analysis, researchers from Harvard School of Public Health and China Medical University in Xinjiang for the first time combined 27 studies and found strong indications that fluoride may adversely affect cognitive development in children. Based on the findings, the author says that this risk should not be ignored and that more research on fluoride's impact on the developing brain is warranted. The study was published online in Environmental Health Perspectives in July of 2012. The average loss in IQ is reported as standardized weighted mean difference of 0.45, which would be approximately equivalent to 7 IQ points for commonly used IQ scores with a standard deviation of 15 points. Some studies suggest that even slightly increased fluoride exposure could be toxic to the brain. Thus, children in high fluoride areas had significantly lower IQ scores than those who lived in low fluoride areas. The children's study were up to 14 years old, but the investigators speculate that any toxic effect on brain development may have happened earlier and that the brain may not be fully capable of compensating for the toxicity. Fluoride seems to fit in with lead, mercury. This is all from the studies, the Harvard studies, and that you have and that you're supposed to read. Fluoride seems to fit in with lead, mercury, and other poisons that can cause chemical brain drain, Grandjean, one of the authors, says. The effect of each toxicant may seem small, but the combined damage on a population scale can be serious.
Thank
especially
you.
Because the brain power of the next generation is crucial to us all. Do the right thing, and the nation will follow your lead.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Regina Ambergia.
Hello, everybody. I'm Regina Ambergia. I'm in District 14. You've heard me speak many times before, but today I'm bringing a letter from a dentist, okay? So let me introduce myself. I'm Dr. Daniel Strader, third-generation Dallas dentist. I have practiced dentistry in Dallas for 38 years. I'm a member of the American Dental Association and the recipient of the Texas Dental Association's Honorary Order of Good Fellow. There is natural fluoride already in the Dallas water. The city of Dallas has been adding additional fluoride to the water supply, believing it will help growing kids avoid cavities. Highland Park and University Park's municipal water facilities have never added fluoride to the water supply. I can tell you from practicing dentistry on the border between Dallas and Park Cities, I have not seen any advantage of the fluoride added in to the Dallas children. In fact, here are just some of the problems caused by the fluoridation of water. Number one, fluoridated water causes fluorosis, he has in parentheses, white and brown spots, in 40% of the Dallas children. The more water they drink, the more fluorosis they get. Number two, fluoridated water makes teeth brittle, hard, causing more tooth breakage. Number three, fluoridated water causes bones to become brittle. Number four, fluoridated water gives no benefit to adults whose teeth have already formed. Number five, fluoride completes the competes with iodine in the thyroid, causing various thyroid-associated health problems, including links to cancer. Number six, fluoridation lowers the IQ of children, according to the Harvard study. Fluoride is added to the water supply as a drug to cause perceived beneficial changes in the person who drinks the water, but there is no control of the dosage received. Many adults, including myself, have high blood pressure. What if my prescription blood pressure drug was added to the water supply? What dose would I get? I would depend on how much water I drank. Some people who have low blood pressure would be harmed by the drug. Others would overdose. Please don't practice medicine without a license by placing drugs in our water supply. Please vote to stop adding fluoride to the Dallas Municipal Water Supply. Respectfully, Daniel Strader, DDS. Now, this guy is right near you guys. You can talk to him. I know. Okay, I wrote something else, too, that I was going to say. You guys have all been elected to do this vote, so you have the ability to do the vote. But do you have the knowledge to do the vote? And I see you people paying attention, kind of not paying attention. This is a big vote. Do you really feel qualified? You are going to be required to make that decision, and you have been voted. You have the ability to do it. But do you really have the knowledge to do it? I mean, I like lots of you. I mean, I don't know you, but I feel like I kind of know you. And I feel like I want to believe you want to do the right thing. And I want to end by 3 o'clock, because 3 minutes, because I told everybody we don't want to have Mayor Rawlings say thank you, thank you. So, but thank you. And here the rest of them. Thank you for today. Okay, bye.
Your next speaker.
Thank you.
John Greer. Phyllis Greer, John Parks, David Glass will follow. Please, if you have handouts, if you'll go ahead and start bringing them forward, it does affect your speaking time.
I'd like to read directly from the MSDS for hydrofluoric acid. Harmful if swallowed. Contact with water may generate toxic, irritating, and corrosive gases. Ingestion. If swallowed, call physician immediately. Note to physician, all types of contact should be treated immediately. Avoid direct discharge to sewers and surface waters. Reacts violently with water. Toxicology. Chronic exposure may entail dental or skeletal fluorosis. Disposal. Dispose of in a permitted hazardous waste management facility following all local, state, and federal regulations. I would like to share with you two very important definitions. The first is a drug, defined as any substance other than food used in the prevention, diagnosis, alleviation, treatment, or cure of a disease. The second is dental caries, defined as a disease of the teeth. Now the state defines practicing medicine without a license as any activity that is intended to cure disease or preserve health. Anyone diagnosing, prescribing medicine, or performing physical exams engaging in the practice of medicine without a license is often a felony offense. Finally, on informed consent, the cornerstone of patients' rights. Consent means that doctors do not have the right to touch or treat a patient without that patient's approval, because the patient ultimately is the one that has to live with the consequences and the discomfort caused by the treatment. A healthcare provider must first present information on the risks, alternatives, and success rates. I would contend that if larger doses were introduced, more lethal ties to health failures would be brought to our attention. However, we are slowly poisoning the people, so slowly that conditions are not tied directly to this toxic substance. I strongly urge you to vote against adding hydrofluoric salicylic acid to the water on the 28th, because drinking water to treat cavities is like drinking bleach or peroxide to whiten your teeth. I have enclosed a copy of the fluoridation brochure from the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology in your packets. Thank you so much for your time.
Your next speaker, Phyllis Greer. Ms. Greer will be followed by John Parks, David Glass, David Siebert, and David Headley.
Hello, my name is Phyllis Greer. I live at 2705 Dogleg in McKinney, Texas. Although I don't live in Dallas, I was raised here. I was born in Dallas. I do business here, and I have a rental property in Irving, Texas that receives water from Dallas. As part of my presentation, I would like to share two short video clips. The first is my pastor, Eric Philpott.
Go. This is to Mayor Rawlings and Council. My name is Eric Philpott. I'm the pastor of Cross Life Church in Allen, Texas. And this is pertaining to the vote that's taking place later on this month with regards to fluoride in the water there in the city of Dallas. As a pastor, I want to make a request to you to go ahead and do what is the ethical and moral thing to do with regards to this decision. The city of Dallas and the people of Dallas do not know that there actually is fluoride in the water, or what the effects of fluoride is to their brains, to their minds, and to their bodies. And so I'm asking you, because you do know, that it would be the moral and the ethical thing to do to go ahead and vote against fluoridating the water in Dallas. I pray that that decision is a good decision that that you have the ability to make. Thank you.
This second clip is a former Dallas Cowboy, John Nyland. You may remember him from the Roger Staubach days or the good old days.
This is John Nyland, and I know for a fact chemicals like fluoride can be very dangerous to your own system. It can be very detrimental to your own particular living if you're not careful with it. And they're putting it in our water. They've been doing it for years now, and they say it's going to be something that could cure and be somewhat of a result to get cavities taken care of or somehow strengthen your system. It does not do that. You know, if you look at it from a chemical standpoint, number one, they're practicing medicine without a license. If they call it a chemical, as they have done it, I just can't see that we should spend another $1 million or so trying to keep it in our system, keep it in our water system. So if you don't want to have this on a continuous basis, you want to vote against it.
I would just like to strongly urge you to stop adding hydrofluorosilicic acid to the water. Please vote no on January 28th. Thank you so much for your time.
John Parks. John Parks will be followed by David Glass, David Siebert, and David Heffley.
My name is John Parks. I P.O. Box 852632 Richardson. I want to say thank you for this opportunity, and I'm going to cede part of my time to Dr. Ray coming up here right now.
I'm Dr. Bill Ray from the Environmental Health Center in Dallas. I founded this clinic some 35 years ago to find the aspects or define the aspects of cardiovascular disease and other diseases that were environmentally induced. I've written 8 textbooks, and I've written numerous papers, 150 scientific papers. I'm speaking on the fluoride issue, and I feel that Dallas should not put any more fluoride in the water. We have numerous patients, somewhere in the thousands, who can't drink Dallas water. One of the reasons is because of the fluoride that's in it. Several thousand patients who can't tolerate fluoride in their water, and we have tested them and proved cause and effect from this. I think that we have enough fluoride in Dallas water, and I don't think we should add any more because it is a toxic substance. It's a brother of chlorine, and we know that chlorine is necessary for the city of water, but we don't want to add more poison to this because it can affect similar systems in the body. We know that there is natural fluoride in Dallas water, and that should be enough to do whatever people are looking for, but we certainly don't need any more fluoride in the water, in my opinion.
So over the past few months, you've heard from concerned citizens, some of us with letters behind our name, most of us without, but all of us affected by this decision. We've brought in experts with credentials, very credible credentials. You've heard from some of them right here. We have emailed you links to additional videos, YouTube videos, and other links with other additional individuals with credentials discussing why it's not just us, but large numbers of people are wanting to not have fluoride in the water. So on January 28th, we ask you to please vote no on renewing the contract for the fluoride. Thank you.
David Glass will be followed by David Siebert and David Hef. David Glass, not present. David Siebert, not present. David Heffley. David Heffley is not present. That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
The meeting is adjourned, 2:54. Thank you.